Well, I'm very happy to be here. My name is Javi Das. I was initiated in 1973 by Srila Prabhupada in Los Angeles, California. And I don't know how I survived, because I came from Ukraine and then to Warsaw. And from once I got into Warsaw, I had like 12 minutes to take the next plane. But I don't know how, why I had to enter into Poland and stamp my passport. And the gate was number 38. And I was not even in number one. I didn't know how am I going. And I ran. And they were going to close the door. And I got in. And when we got in Venice, then they say, sorry, but your luggage is not here. So I had to buy a shirt and other stuff, because I have nothing. And it's such a pleasure to have nothing. It is such a wonderful thing, because we always think, don't you do that when you have a suitcase and you're going somewhere, oh, I need this, and this, of course, and this, and oh, yeah, and then that one is not enough, I need two, and then I have to do it, yeah, just in case I need also this and that. So it happened to me. So sometimes Krishna just plays tricks. And it's interesting how Krishna has very good sense of humor. Isn't it? Well, would you like to know how I met Krishna consciousness? Thank you. I was born in Israel. And I grew up in Venezuela, in South America. Since I was a very little child, I had natural inclination for spiritual life, for the spiritual realm. Somehow or other, I was a dreamy boy. Sometimes I would hear music in my bedroom, although there was no music anywhere, but I hear it within my head. Sometimes I establish a personal relationship with God. I didn't know that he was a beautiful flute player. But I had this relationship where I talked to him, and then when things happened, oh, you want to talk to me too? Well, I was playing, naturally. And when my parents took us to the beach, we are three children, myself and two sisters, right? So when we always wanted to have the window, but only two can have the window, not three, right? In the back. So sometimes I had the window. So when I had the window, sometimes I play with the wind. And I was thinking that the wind was God, and he was playing to me, who is more strong, you or I? And I was going like that with the wind, oh, you are strong. And I was doing like the pushing. And sometimes when I had the chance to have the seat near the window, I used to move a little to the middle so that God sits near the window. So, and then I grew up in a Zionist family. My father was from Vienna, my mother from Czech Republic. I was born in Israel, grew up in Venezuela, and I'm a Hare Krishna devotee. More salad than that, impossible. This is a salad. But it's good, because who am I then? Am I Israeli? Am I Venezuelan? Who am I? So the question started from very early. I didn't love anything, I didn't hate anything, because I didn't identify so deeply. The people in Venezuela, for example, for them, all the mountains in Venezuela, and then the food from Venezuela, and the flag, and the history. And when I go to Israel, oh, falafel, and you know, and the, yeah, right? But since I didn't have any root in any of these places, in a way, I was fortunate. But at, when I was, I've been always a musician. First time I played piano, I was, I don't know, 3, 4 years old. There was a piano in my house. I always say that before I was born, my mother gave birth a piano, because we almost, you know, I always had a piano with me. So I went through the music scene when I was since I was 18 years old, and I was part of a band, and I made myself independent from my parents. It was not a healthy relationship also. It was not healthy because they are coming also from a very difficult background. Most of my family died in the Second World War in gas chambers, and you know, it's a very horrible scene. So that affected my parents, so they didn't know how to relate in a healthy way to their children. Everything was with rage. And my father used to say, I told you 6 million times not to exaggerate. I told you 1 million times not to exaggerate. And I said, I don't understand the logic of that. He was very particular. So I questioned life from the very beginning. And then when I went to Israel at the age of 18, 19 years old, I had quite an experience. And the experience is that I went to visit a friend of mine whose name is Solomon. And Solomon, he was my neighbor in Venezuela. Now he was in Israel, so I came to visit him. He was studying Hebrew first before he went to the university. And he had a nice apartment right near the university. He had like a bedroom for, a student place. So we were socializing there, and suddenly at one point somebody knocked the door. And I went to open, and I found a boy that was a young man who was very thin, and he had his hair very long. But he was very quiet and very refined. From the very beginning, he was a mysterious person, and I said, yes. He said, oh, I heard that there are some Latin American people living here, and I'm going to Argentina. I'm from Argentina. I was in India, and now I'm going to Argentina, back to my house. So I was looking for a place to stay. He had a backpack, and he had his sleeping bag, so why not? Please come in. We all welcome him, and then we start to socialize and became friends and so on. And he took the guitar, and he was sang beautiful. And then, but his whole attitude, his whole behavior was very peaceful and very yogic. You know that yogi, that shanti? Yeah, that's the word. And that was mysterious, because I thought at that time also there was this pretentious, I am a hippie or something, you know. So I was very careful about that. In any case, we end up at the roof of the building, 3 o'clock in the morning, full of stars. And when we started to talk very deeply, and at one point I said, okay, what is reality? What is the truth? And he said to me, I only know that my hands are made of water and cannot grasp anything. But one day the seed of love will be sown in my heart, and the beautiful fruit will be ecstasy. And I went, I didn't understand anything. So I said, okay, good for you. I know. But he definitely made an impression on me. And we were going to sleep. He slept in his sleeping bag, Solomon on one bed, I am the other one. And I don't know why I asked him, do you do yoga? And he sat up and he said, I do bhakti yoga, but don't ask me anything else. I said, okay. So I left it at that. Next morning, he was gone. Because he was going, he went to the airport. Not is that, not a business. And then, at that moment, I decided to go to visit my grandmother. So I went to the main street, and the main street, I was waiting for the bus. What's going on? Oh, today's Sabbath. And in Sabbath, there's no public transportation. There's no buses. There are public transportation, taxis, right? Okay, let me go and get a taxi. So I had to go to somewhere else. So I was walking. And as I was walking, I found a kiosk. And in the kiosk, they had newspapers and magazines and sweets and things. And then something caught my eye. I looked at, very strange, there was in the front page, there was this man with shaved head and tilak. So I said, what is that? So I took the magazine. And in my third class Hebrew, I started to read. Krishna is God. I said, oh no, my Lord. Another God, another religion. And oh. Anyway, I was open to the possibilities and I kept on reading. The process of bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga. Isn't this what I discussed, what he said he was? Remember? I do bhakti yoga, but don't ask me anything else. But I wanted to know what bhakti yoga was, and now even more. So instead of going to my grandmother's, I went to the place where this devotee was. And I remember something very special. The taxi left me like 200 meters from the house. And when they told me, it's not 200, I ran. And there was inside my head, I was going, why am I running here? Why? It's like I was going to see my mother after not seeing her for ages. And I was laughing. I said, am I going insane here? I got to the place and I knocked the door, and then this devotee opens the door and he says, his name was Dinesh Chandra. And he says, Hare Krishna. And I go, hi. Because Hare Krishna, you know, he could have said anything in Arab. And it was the same thing for me. I didn't know what he was saying. Please come in. So I come in and I smell this incense and I see these beautiful pictures. I go, wow, this is magical. But I was talking to myself, hey, don't get influenced by anything. Just maintain your intelligence. Because I don't want to jump into a swimming pool. I don't know if it has water or not. So I was waiting for a chair, and then, no, we sit on the floor. You sit on the floor. Interesting. And then there's a plate of fruits. And then we mostly eat with the hand. Really? And then I took a little fruit, and then I was looking at the pictures and I go, who is this blue person in the wall there in the painting? He says, oh, that's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is God. I was thinking, are you serious? Everybody's looking for God under the earth and in the moon. You have it hanging in your wall. You mean this is God? How do you know? And that's where the whole thing started. And the more he was speaking, the more I was like, wow. And when he went to the Bhagavad Gita, you change bodies. I said, yes, this makes sense. And then he said, God is a person, you are a person. Therefore, the one who originated, the one who created you, must have something that you have. Otherwise, how? If he's not a person, then you have something that he doesn't have. Yes, that makes sense. And the more he was talking to me, I was saying, oh my God, I will end up like this person. And yes, I end up like this person. I tortured him. The first session, the second time I came, was a week later. I devoured the little books. And I went, this is too much. How am I going to explain this to my friends and to my family? This is so beautiful. Next time that I came, two things happened to me. Of course, the first time we chanted Hare Krishna, and he had some, you know, incense that you put the resin of incense into a black coil, and then it becomes like you're in a cloud, right? Because it becomes. And I chanted Hare Krishna in this atmosphere, and my heart was bursting. Second time when I come, he says, do you want to hear my spiritual master? And I said, yes. It happens that he was the devotee who recorded the first recordings of Srila Prabhupada when he was in New York. Then Krishna Kanti from Los Angeles took over. But he was the one. He had, at that time, kids. At that time, they had 7.5-inch tapes. Anybody knows about this? Maybe my colleagues in the back? 7.5-inch tapes. There was no cassette. There was none of that. Huh? Yes. I was worried. Thank you for coming up. So I put my headphone and I hear Vandeham Sri Guru. I remember that my whole body was like hair was stand. And I couldn't hear more. It was too powerful. And then I saw that his wife, Krishna Devi, she's the one who made the first cookbook in ISKCON. So Krishna Devi had a plate with many preparations. And then after that, she put this to offer to Krishna. She had another 10 preparations. And I was surprised. You're doing this every day? No, today is a special day. Why? Today is the appearance day of Lord Chaitanya. I didn't know who Chaitanya was. Anyways, I believe her. And then it was amazing because there were like 12 to 15 preparations. Guess how many people were there as guests? Huh? No. No. One. Me. With 15 preparation of prasadam. That's it. That's it. No more intellectual input. No more doubts. It was not through the ear that I became devotee. It was through the mouth. It says, welcome to Halavaloka. When I tasted halava, I said, this is the absolute truth. Okay, that was it. And then I had the original books of the Bhagavad Gita and I fell in love with this. And I said, yes, I'm so lucky. So lucky. You remember the verse that says that whoever receives the seed in your heart, it says in Bengali, who knows the... Bhagyavanji, bhagya means fortunate. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavanji. How fortunate is somebody? And if you analyze it, we are insignificant compared to the rest of Slovenia inhabitants. We're very few, but we're very lucky. Very like, because there is no comparison. It's not that, well, we have the absolute truth and you don't have it. No, it's everywhere. The Muslims have it, the Jewish have it, the Christians have it, but not at the level that we have it. Because you have a particular level of information according to the level of the audience. When the Jewish people were coming out from Egypt, they were slaves. How much can you say to a slave? Well, don't kill, don't steal. We'll talk later about anything else. But first, behave. And when Christ came, he spoke to fishermen's sheep, men who were taking care of sheep, people who were doing the working the land. Also had to use metaphors and similes and just to make himself understood. And still they bang him to a cross. So this, no, this is Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam Pavitram Vidamutamam. This is the king of all knowledge, spoken directly from the fountainhead of everything, personally. It was not a messenger, it was not a son, it was not a spiritual master. It was himself. I am Aham Sarvasya Prabhava. I am the source of all the universe. I mean, there are two choices. Either he's God or he's insane. And he proved. He also proved insane. Because when he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right? When he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he thought that in Puri, the sea was... Radhakunda, was it? Jamuna, right? Jamuna. So he ran to the sea. And then his followers, his companions, they didn't know what was going on with him. Where is he? And then suddenly a fisherman came completely crazy with his hair completely burned out to say that, you know, there's a ghost. I just took a ghost with my, how you say, net. And they understood, oh, he must be around here. But he was completely insane. So, the level information depends on the level of the audience. You cannot speak high mathematics in kindergarten or in high school, you have to wait. You know, first 2 and 2 is 4, and then you do adding and subtracting, and then you can do equations, and eventually you become an expert in mathematics. In the same way, Krishna consciousness is Rajaguhyam. It's not for everybody. And of course, in a society that was civilized, the Vedic society, those who were Brahmanas, they were not the majority. They were very selective people. Because this could be very complicated. If you think about it, you know, the hellish planets, and then there's Ganesh, who is an elephant with a thing, but there's Hanuman, who is a monkey, who is... You can get confused. You cannot relate to it. Why? Because you're from Slovenia. How can you relate to it? But in India, everybody knows who Hanuman is. They also know who Krishna is, but they don't know really who Krishna is, because somehow or other it became a salad also there, with the influence of the Arabs and then the British, and then they lost their own respect, and they decided, you know what, in the name of democracy, they are all God. Okay? Hanuman is God, and Indra is God, and it's just representations. And then the Western countries came and said, oh, this is all mythology. Or how they call it? They call it mythology in India. So they lost the track. They lost the clear reference. Panchatattva ki jai. They lost it. Now there's a big movement in India, thanks to Prabhupada. But it's curious. Prabhupada had to come to the West, be successful in the West, and then be successful in India. He tried here and there in Jhansi and other places, and he said, let me just follow what my Guru Maharaj said. I'm going to the West. I'm going to America. And here is this old man sitting in Washington Square, Tompkins Square, with his cart, and he goes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And everybody went, what's going on with this man? Why is he sitting? And mind you, there was a sign, please do not sit on, don't step on the grass. Right? It's absurd, because the grass is the best place to sit. No. So he immediately, he knew already that everything was upside down. In fact, when he came through the boat, he asked himself, how am I going to teach them this? How are they going to understand this? I had serious problems with my father when he read Easy Journey to the other planets. He went, Vas is das. he said, this is, and he went against me, really, to the point that he denounced Prabhupada. Prabhupada came to Venezuela 1975, and he was coming 1976 again, and they denied him entry. The visa they didn't give, and that was my father. Heavy, huh? Because he wanted to save his son. He was to save me. So he was a Jewish leader in the Zionist movement, and for him to see his son become a Hare Krishna, that was, for his reputation, was like horrible. What is going on here with your son? So this is the story. Eventually, I opened the temple in Venezuela and then in Colombia. And after that, I decided to, when I got married, I needed to start my income. And then, of course, I had music abilities. One thing led to the other, and then I became a successful artist, performer. And that was not an easy challenge to overcome. You see, this is like, if there is somebody who feels, I mean, we are here because we want to be Krishna. And to be a successful artist is the perfection of that mistake. Because you are on a stage. And when you are in a stage, lights are on you. And you are nicely dressed. Right? And this is like an altar. You're an altar with the lights and the, right? And then I didn't play the flute, I played the piano. And I was showing my uncommon talent. And people were chanting my holy name, you know, my. So I got the taste of being Krishna for. Oh my God, you have no idea what that means. Because what happened is that it's a night type of work, and then, you know, your sadhana becomes weaker and weaker and weaker to the point where you don't know how to say the mantra, and if you're, hey, hey, it doesn't come out. And then you get really entangled and really start to suffer. Why suffer? Because, I mean, those who became devotees and left, they have no remorse, they have no problem, because they didn't really fell in love with the process of Krishna consciousness. I did. So in that way I was leading a two lives. Luckily, all my songs, most of my songs in Spanish are offered to Krishna. But I couldn't say masculine, you know, if I say, where are you? You know, it's like George Harrison sang, something in the way. She, he had to say she. Not if he says he, then people will. So I did the same. So I was saying, where are you? ¿Dónde estás? Que no te veo. I cannot see you. Pareces estar escondida. Looks like you are hidden. But this hidden is in feminine. So everybody thought it was a love song, woman and man. And I said, okay, no problem. So I went. So I was singing to Krishna, and I composed to Krishna, and people were. So we were in a different frequency. So, besides that, sometimes I ask for two spotlights. Do you know what spotlights is? Two spotlights. Why? Not only because I'm very eccentric, but also because I saw those lights as the eyes of Krishna. So he is watching me, so here I am, I'm singing to you. So, and that kept me alive. And then, I went through all types of situations, but in any case, I survived. The good news is that Krishna has kept me near, and it makes me happy to talk about this, because some of you just started the process, maybe, or you are young in the process, and then you should know that you are going to go through different periods in your life. And the secret to keep everything in order, it's between the first and the third finger. This one. Between the first and third finger. That is the shield. That is the protection. That is the connection. You can do anything. You can do anything and everything. But if you don't chant, you're in your own space, apart from everything else, connecting yourself, then the process of Krishna consciousness becomes difficult. But if you do that, Prabhupada came to a point, he said, you chant 16 rounds and then the rest of the day do any damn thing you want. His conviction was so strong. Why? He knew what? Acharya, Uvacha. So that is extremely important to maintain that. And it's not, you see, we always have some reasons why we cannot do this. And one of the reasons is that we don't chant with concentration. So I will let you know the technique that I have discovered. Can I share with you? It's for the same price. So I've seen that others chanting mantras in different processes, they very very careful with the breathing process. So I started experimenting. If you take three mantras, you take air, right? And then you go Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Did you get it?
Yes.
So in other words, I did three out and one chanted inside. It doesn't sound aloud, but if you are concentrated, especially if you have your hand here, then you can hear it that way, and then it becomes cyclical, it becomes controlled. It's not Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare. No, no, no. The breathing and the mantra is coordinated so that you maintain a pace, a rhythm, and that helps you to concentrate while you're chanting your rounds. I know it must be in some scripture, I don't know if it's true or not, but this has worked for me, right? So if it has worked for me, then why not share it, right? So I'm here for you, please, if you have any comment or you want to ask something? I'm your servant. Something? That doesn't sound? Maybe you have to open?
It's open.
I don't know.
Okay, now.
So, I would like to ask you if you can, because it's really helpful when we pass through some situation and share with others, which can help also others. So can you also share with us the most challenging situation in your career and also with the Krishna consciousness, what could be like and helpful also for us? Thank you.
The challenge in Krishna consciousness basically is discipline. We are not built up for that. For discipline. That's where the word disciple comes from. Huh? Discipline. And that is very... Oh, I have a cramp in my leg. To be disciplined is not easy. But the problem of discipline, it's resolved by uniting with somebody who is either a very good friend or your superior, where you can have the nearness of this person and who inspires you. We need constant inspiration. Constant inspiration. Maya is very strong. We are not very strong. We need constant inspiration. The more you associate with, in today's, we have advantages that other people didn't have in the past. We can go to Google and we can associate with very advanced devotees. In my experience, after I am friend of Prabhupada's disciple, but there is one of them that it inspires me so much. I told him I cannot live without him. This is Vaisheshika Prabhu. Vaisheshika is somebody I cannot believe that somebody like that exists. He's extremely advanced, beautiful, lovable. And that's why I'm going to India and I'm going to spend 1 month with him in Govardhan, just reading and chanting together. The discipline. We go to Mangal Arati, we do Tulsi Puja, we chant our rounds, we do Guru Puja. We give there's a class, and after that there's prasadam, and after that there are 4 hours of reading, and then there is lunch, and then there is 1 hour, 1 hour and a half of, and then, rest for an hour and a half, and then you have 4 hours more of reading and chanting. And then there is a Damodarastakam, and then you go to sleep and you do this every year for 1 month, every day. That is an experience that there's no comparison. You actually understand the process better. Because they say, Punya Sravana Kirtanam Hridyantasto Hi Abhadrani, that you are actually connect yourself. And by hearing and chanting, you will purify your heart, you will understand better, you will be strong spiritual. And when you do that, you find out, yes, it's happening to me in this way. And especially when it is intense like that. So the challenges we all have, we have to work, we have to associate with people, we have to go and meet our parents, eat things that are not exactly prasadam. Those are the challenges. So we have to be good strategists. We have to be good, intelligent strategists, because it's always there. You have to make sure that you do the Tai Chi with the thing, right? You have to do this. Because then suddenly you're caught up with something, right? So, and the spirit of enjoyment always boils down to famous sex life. That is number one. So, once we become devotees, we forget about everything and we really experiment the beauty of Krishna consciousness, the Sanskrit language, the pastimes, Krishna Bhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and all the sweetness. You don't want anything else. But it's around you. And it's always there. And you just have to be very careful. Convinced that you are risking, you're risking sabotaging your own highest interest. So again, association with devotees, chanting your rounds, how is this, being, and then when you associate outside, you be very careful. And I've seen people, devotees, advanced devotees, that they go out and they look like they are not doing anything, but inside they're going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Yes, how are you doing? Just maintain contact. Just maintain contact. Of course, when people who are not devotees of Krishna look at this type of behavior, they think, these guys are crazy. You know, he's talking to himself. What is he doing? But for us, it's so important to maintain this link, this contact, this inspiration, and shield ourselves again against the power of illusion. So that is the challenge. That is the challenge. But when we, it's called that we say sat-sanga. Anga means limb. You're contacting through the senses the different qualities and defects, virtues and other from the contact that you make through the senses, to the eyes, to the ears. You establish a contact, and then whatever that person has, you go. You just take from them through your senses. Dhyayato visayam punsa sangastichu pajayate. Right? So, we have to be alert. And if we don't, if we're not alert, then we will see. You know, it's like the judo. You go, to the floor. And we have to come back again. And who knows how many times it's going to happen. We are cursed by Krishna. We have nowhere else to go. This is too much beauty and too much knowledge and too much to say, okay, I was a devotee in the past, now I am back to normal life. No, you're not going to be a normal person in your life. Just face it. You're lucky that you're not. And that is a blessing. That story of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who was it? That cursed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Remind me. That you're not going to enjoy your senses, sense gratification forever. You're not going to enjoy it. Really? You know, and he started to dance out of happiness. Today I was in touch with some of our friends, and the person smokes cigarette. And just the prospect of leaving the cigarette was like torture. Becomes a slave. He drinks some coffee and then the master says, "Now you smoke." "Yes." "He's not smoking." And then he has some conversation. "Smoke?" "Yes, sir." "And he smokes." And then there's lunch, and then like that, and then, you know, there's constant thing you go and smoke. So I told him, because I was a smoker also, and I overcome it through ignoring this voice. I personified the addiction. Because I was addicted since I was born. My mother used to smoke when I was in her womb. So I am a smoker before birth. So it was not easy to get rid of this. But I personified the addiction. And there's all types of addiction. Addiction to food, addiction to sex, addiction to cigarette, addiction to whatever. There's so many. I personified the addiction, and I determined that in 15 days I'm not going to smoke anymore. I'm not going to listen to this voice. And it worked. Of course, I had to exercise and not drink something or do something that would trigger the desire. And, you know, just be strategist again. And then he was asking, "Hey, what's going on? What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I decided not to smoke." "Why?" "I've been with you all my life. All your life I was there when you were depressed. I was with you when you needed a friend. Why would you do this? This is not loyalty." So I said, no, it's not going to work. "Well, if you're not going to smoke, then I'm going to make your life miserable." I said, "Bring it on. Bring it." And I started to sweat, and I started to, you know, my hands were sweating, and I was nervous, and I was couldn't sleep, and you know, thing. And so, what do you think? No, no, no. Bring more. Don't worry about it. Just bring more. And then that wave came down. And then after 3-4 days, how are you? I'm okay. So it was a good attempt. Now you can smoke again. No, I'm not going to smoke again. And again, you know. You know, 6 months later, he was, where are you? Please. Begging me to come back to him. No way. No. That is the nature of addiction. So that is material life. And you try to convince somebody like that. He says, I don't see myself leaving the cigarette. He doesn't understand that it's not his choice. He is being held prisoner. Right? There's no freedom. In this world, there is no freedom, there is no love, there is no equality, there is no. It doesn't matter how you call it. This is just like a. It is like a. What he says? Closet. Thank you for your sneezing. I immediately remembered. Gesundheit. It's a closet. So within the closet, it's my mother, my father, my flag, my country, my children, my pains, my pleasures, my food, my bed, my house, the mountains, and everything else. It's all my country. Everything is in a closet until I open the door or somebody opens the door of the closet for you. And you realize that the closet is in a room. And that room is only one room of a house. And then you go, hey, I didn't know this. And then you go out of the house, you open the door. And that is only one house in a big, how you call it, big city. Yes, you can say city. And then it's not only one city, there are many cities that comprises a country. And there's not only one country, there's so many. And then you zoom out and you go and you see that there's a continent. There are 5 continents and that's a planet Earth floating in space among millions of planets in the material sky. But you think that you belong to in this closet. With my mother, my father, my food, my this, my dog, my cat, my cigarette, my movies. So Prabhupada opened the door for us and shows that not only that we're floating in the material world, but in that this material world is not even our home. It's a jail. And just like you have, you tell me when to stop, okay? There's a jail. A city can be big, and the jail is just a small place. Who is in jail? Those who have broken the law of the state, and they are forced to go to this place. And in that place, they tell you what to wear, what to eat, when to go outside. You're forced. You have no freedom. Yes, you can move 3 meters here and 6 meters there, but you have no freedom. So we are in the same situation in this material body, in this material world. We are forced to eat. Say no. You have to eat. You have to sleep. No, I'm not going to sleep anymore. No, it's not your choice. I'm not going to go to the bathroom anymore. Really? You have to. And then I'm going to eat, but I'm not going to allow the process of digestion. Very smart. It's not going to happen. You're forced. And then the body that was so thin and so lovely, and then suddenly wrinkles come in and you lose your memory. And eventually, you know you have to go. You know you have to go. Why? We are forced. So this is the whole thing of love and democracy and equality. It's not going to happen in a place that is not designed for that purpose. This is not a place designed for freedom. It's a jail. How can you be free in a jail? How can you be happy, limited by walls? Like in Puranjan, you know, story. Isn't Krishna consciousness wonderful or what? Well, dear friends, thank you very much for allowing me to visit you and to talk about Krishna and about my experience. It's amazing when you become, you know, I'm not 60 anymore. So when you become older, then you take the role of a father or a grandfather. And I'm doing it with a lot of love and appreciation. Just don't fight among yourself. Don't allow intrigues. You first, not me. You first. Practice. Everybody practice that. You first. No, but that it's mine. No. No, it's yours. It's yours. Practice it. Then you become a very decent man, a woman, you become kind. So when you share kindness, but how do you share kindness? You first. You go out first. You take this first. You eat first. I will serve you, Prasad. There's nobody in the puja, I will do it. In this attitude, you will be happy. If others don't implement it, that's their problem.